The 18th edition of the annual Prague Fringe Festival is set to start on Friday. Theatres, cafes and many other spaces in the Czech capital's picturesque Malostrana district will host a week-long programme packed with events ranging from theatre to music. The festival is the brainchild of Scotsman Steve Gove, who has been based in the Czech capital since the 1990s. When we spoke, he told me that the festival's relatively small size is actually an advantage.
Edinburgh is wonderful, Perth's wonderful in Australia, Brighton's a fantastic fringe as well. They're all big fringes, and you know, there's a different experience you get out of those. But what you get out of coming to Prague, it's a much more manageable festival, both for artists and for audiences. We decided as well that how we wanted to grow the festival was to grow the audiences. We have about 11,000 tickets for sale every year, and we thought, why would we want to expand the number of tickets available when we're not completely sold out? So instead of doing that, we put our focus on building the audiences, and the artists really appreciate it. They come to Prague, many of the performances are sold out, there's a really good atmosphere, and they don't have to necessarily stand in the streets as they might do in Edinburgh. And Jim Haynes, one of the key characters in the very early days of the Edinburgh Fringe, when he came to Prague Fringe a few years ago, I said, you know, give me a quote. What did you think? And he said, Prague, it's like Edinburgh in the 70s, intimate, fun and friendly. And we kind of plastered that everywhere. It's what we do best. We like to keep it small and compact, and it seems to work for audiences and artists.
This year, the festival will present a large percentage of shows performed and created by women. What made you decide to focus on female artists this year?
The process of programming the Fringe Festival is an unusual one, perhaps, by comparison to some festivals. In August, every year, we put out a call for shows. So it's an open arts event that anybody can apply to perform at, in a similar vein to Edinburgh and all the other fringes around the world. But what then happens, unlike a lot of fringes, is that by September we have a large amount of applications which we have to sift through. And very, very quickly, during the planning process in September this year, we realised just how strong the work from women was. And we decided then and there that this was going to be one of our big themes this year.
For people coming to see some performances at the Fringe this year, what would you say are some of the highlight performances?
Well, we always have a lot to choose from. There's 52 different shows coming to the Fringe over the 9-day period, and it's always difficult to highlight one or two. What I like to do is I like to highlight themes, and for people who pick up the brochure and think, God, how do I start? There's so much to do. I think a good thing would be to just look at the categories and just create a theme for yourself. So if you fancy your theme to be Scotland, click Scotland and all those shows will pop up. If you fancy non-verbal Scottish work, click the non-verbal button too, and then it'll refine the search down a bit. We've got shows from all sorts of different countries this year. We've got a brilliant Australian and Kiwi theme running, as well as always a lot of shows from Scotland, as I've mentioned, and England too. If I was going to highlight one, I always like to highlight Henry Naylor's work. Henry Naylor is an excellent writer of theatre. He's been round the block quite a few times. He's very well known for the for being one of the writers and creators of Spitting Image in the 80s. The satirical British puppet theatre television programme. But in the last few decades, he's been writing new work, which has always started its life at the Fringe Festival, usually in Edinburgh, and then it goes on to tour the world. He always gets high accolades wherever he goes. And we've been very lucky to have him at the Fringe the last 3 years. And last year, he brought a very fresh piece of work to Prague called Games, which I'm sure some of the listeners saw, and it had never been previewed anywhere else before. So it was kind of like in preparation for then taking it on to Edinburgh. And since then, it's gone to tour Australia, lots of different places in England as well. And this year, he's bringing a brand new work, which none of us know very much about, called Crime Story. We're just excited to have him as part of the wonderful collection of work at the Fringe. But he's definitely one to look out for. But I will warn you, his shows always, always sell out. So if anybody's interested in seeing that show, they've definitely got to get tickets.
You tend not just to have some great shows in your lineups, but also some pretty original venues. I was just wondering, do you have any of those this year as well?
The two newest venues that we have at the Fringe are Café Club Myshenska and Golden Key. The Golden Key venue is in a beautiful cellar of a 15th century building, which we came across when we were on a tour by the manager there. And she said, oh, we don't need to go downstairs. It's just a cellar. And I said, no, we do need to go downstairs. It's a cellar. And we went down and we thought that this was in a very exciting space and that we would turn it into a tiny little theatre. So there's 20 seats in there. We've used it for a couple of years now, but I definitely would encourage anyone who hasn't visited that venue to check it out, as well as Café Club Myshenska, which I mentioned. But as I say, we're always snooping around. There are always new spaces, new old spaces that we discover. And we've got a couple which might appear on the scene next year.
Your festival is mainly in English, but artists also sometimes use different types of communications. A few years back, I read that one of the artists spoke in gibberish, whatever that is. And you already talked about nonverbal shows. So what specific type of nonverbal artistic methods will be used this year?
Well, the good thing about the nonverbal aspect is that it kind of opens the Fringe up to locals who don't have any English language skills. There's definitely no gibberish spoken at the Fringe this year, as far as I know, but we have got a handful of nonverbal shows. In terms of categories, we also have a category which we've had for a couple of years now called Easy English. So again, if visitors are not so confident with their English skills, whether they be Czechs or Japanese or one of the over 100 nationalities of people that come to the festival, then they can definitely take a chance with the Easy English as well as the non-verbal. So that's just a kind of an orientational guide to helping people choose something that they're comfortable with in terms of language.
The Prague Fringe has a lot of genres. I was just wondering, are you going to have any new genres included this year? Or if you could just give us a rundown of what sort of stuff people can actually see.
The largest genre of events that we have is theatre. The Fringe Festival is the English language theatre festival in Prague. That was one of the reasons that we wanted to start it almost 20 years ago. But we also have other categories or other genres. For example, there's a little bit of comedy, there's a little bit of music, and this year we even have a film showing for the very first time in the Czech Republic, a documentary film about a character and dear friend called Jim Haynes, who was one of the founding fathers of the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh in the 50s and 60s. He's a fantastic advocate for the arts. And if you haven't heard of Jim Haynes, it's absolutely recommended that you come and see his film, which is playing on the last day of the festival.
One thing I found interesting is that part of the festival is the Fringe Club, where audience members, performers, and also the staff of the festival can meet each other. So how does that work exactly?
Yeah, well, basically, from about 11:30 onwards, usually things kick off properly about 12 o'clock, we have different themed nights every night of the Fringe. So it's a way that for everyone to gather in the same place. That's artists, technicians, volunteers, audience members, all come together and hang out in the bar. Sometimes we have quiet bar nights. We don't encourage people to stay out late every single night. But we have a Scottish ceilidh night, which has now become a bit of a tradition. It's really popular. The last night of the Fringe is always a lot of fun. We have the award ceremony, and it's not the official awards of the festival. It's the fun, flippant awards. We call them the Fringies. And it's a packed out night. Everyone comes along, and we traditionally stay as long as possible. And for those who are able to hang on till the bitter end, we all troop out onto Charles Bridge for the sunrise. Some years it's more spectacular than others. I'm hoping the clouds will clear by that point. But it's a beautiful way to end the festival every year. But yeah, there's something different every night. Sometimes it's just the bars just open. Other nights we'll have a silly disco night or whatnot. But it's a way of getting people together. And they're all free entry, so it's just easy to drop by if you want to come.
One of the things which you've been highlighting this year is the so-called Friends of the Fringe scheme. So what is that exactly, and how does it benefit those thinking of becoming a friend of the Fringe?
Well, we're always trying to think of ways to raise more money for the festival. It's an organisation that relies on sponsorship and funding. And we have a tremendous group of people every year who donate to the festival. And we've sort of formalised it a bit more over the last couple of years by setting up the Friends of the Fringe scheme. This year, for our 18th birthday, we thought we'd go a step further and we thought we'd introduce massive discounts for people who sign up. So we have an 18% discount. So there's a feel-good factor all round. You get to contribute something to the festival, you get discounts on your tickets, as well as that you get discounts at our partner food outlets, which includes a couple of places very close to the festival. All the details are in the brochure. One of the other perks which might suit some of the Friends of the Fringe is that we have a skip the queue system, which means that if you're a friend of the Fringe, you can choose your seats ahead of other customers.
Speaking of audiences, I mean, the Prague Fringe is mainly in English, but it's in Prague. What sort of audiences do you get predominantly? Is it Czechs or is it tourists, foreigners?
A lot of the audiences that we get are tourists, and tourists who have specifically come to Prague for the festival. We've got dozens and dozens of friends right across the world who are either on their way here already or are standing by to jet off back to Prague to come to the Fringe Festival, which is fantastic. About 15% of the audiences are expats, 25% are Czech. So it changes every year. We don't sort of survey that every year, but that's the figures from a couple of years back. So we're quite pleased with the balance, but we always like to do marketing on our Facebook pages and things that will also encourage young Czechs. It's the kind of audience that we'd like to develop the most.
I guess no one would argue against the fact that Prague Fringe has become quite a success since it was founded. I was wondering, is there something when you look back in retrospect you would say, oh, that really helped us? Or, you know, what was a really sort of important factor in making Prague Fringe a success?
In the early days, it was really difficult to get the word out. You know, we were sticking posters up in cafes and having adverts in the Prague Post, which existed back then. And we relied very much on that type of method of encouraging people to come to the festival. But, you know, since social media kicked off, I mean, love it or hate it, it has probably allowed us to spread the news further and quicker. That's definitely been a huge help in the last few years.